Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Psalm 34, verses 1 through 9. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you as saints. There is no want to those who fear him. So far, our sermon text. Christ Jesus, whose mercies and blessings we have tasted, dear fellow redeemed. Many years ago, in my study on stages of grief, I ran across a statement written by a mother who had lost her 11-year-old daughter in death. She wrote, God does not comfort us only to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. Whether she realized it or not, she was echoing the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Many times when the Lord allows afflictions or trials to come our way, and then comforts us with his word, he does so that we can comfort those who go through the same trials and afflictions that we're going through. There's a saying, you don't know what I go through until you've walked in my moccasins. And again, no one can feel the same except those who've experienced the same. Well, David experienced many, many blessings, many riches, but he also had his share of sorrows and sufferings and trials and afflictions. After he was anointed to be king of Israel, Saul turned on him and tried to kill him. David was a fugitive in his own land, even though he had been anointed to be the next king of Israel. Through all of his trials and afflictions, the Lord God blessed him greatly. He was to be the next king of Israel, so God would protect him and provide for him. But another reason why God comforted David so much was to prepare him to be the comforter to so many others by writing wonderful psalms. Psalms that not only comforted people during David's day, but for the last almost 3,000 years, David's psalms have comforted countless millions upon millions of people who have gone through sorrow and trouble and affliction and trials and suffering in their life. And so this morning, David comforts us too. This morning, in our psalm, David invites us to share in the experience of trusting God. You could give a title to this psalm. The title would be, Blessed is the man who takes refuge in God. David learned that. He learned that from experience. He learned it so well that he wrote in verse 8, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. That phrase, taste and see, tells us that God's goodness is something that we need to experience. We need to have it happen to us so we can taste it, experience it. then we'll really appreciate it. This is one of eight psalms that David wrote when he was being chased from place to place by King Saul. David went from the frying pan right into the fire. As he was being chased by Saul, he fled into Philistia and went to the city of Gath. Ever hear that city before? Gath was the hometown of Goliath, whom David had killed some years earlier. Now, we're not told why David fled into that town. Maybe he thought that'd be the last place Saul would look, enemy territory. Maybe he thought people would say, oh, he must have left Saul to be on our side now. Or maybe he thought he could disguise himself and no one would see him. But none of that happened. He got to Gath and he stuck out like a sore thumb. They saw him immediately. In fact, we're told in 1 Samuel 21, then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? The people grabbed a hold of David, brought him to the king, and they pointed to him and said, this is David, the hero of the Israelites, the king of Israel, the king of the land. And David trembled with fear. But the Lord spared David's life by having David pretend that he was insane. We read in verses 12 to 15. David was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath, so he changed his behavior before them, feigned madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, look, you see, the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? The belief of the Eastern custom was that insane people were spiritually possessed and you shouldn't harm them. Well, Achish thought that and he didn't want to harm David, but he didn't also want David to harm him. And so he let David go. David then penned this psalm of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord for his deliverance. But he not only praises the Lord for delivering him, he invites us to come along with him and calls upon us to also thank and praise God. He was rescued, he was delivered, he was comforted, and now he invites us to do the same thing. As we experience deliverance and comfort and rescue from our problems and trials, he says, magnify the Lord with me. Call upon God's name and give thanks to God even as I do. Isn't that what God calls upon us to do in our daily life? The Lord tells us in Hebrews 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more so as you see the day approaching, Judgment Day. The Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians and says, we love you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom of glory. And Peter even repeats David's words in his epistle when he too experienced the undeserved blessings of God. He said, like newborn babies, craves pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you tasted the Lord's mercies? Have you tasted the Lord's grace? Have you tasted his kindness? Is there ever any patience? That's not just an invitation, that's a challenge. Test him in every situation in your life. Test him. by trusting him. Rely upon him completely, implicitly, without reservation. Put your confidence and your trust in the Lord. Taste his goodness. Inly digest those words of promise. And look back and see he's never failed you in the past, and he will never fail you in your future. Oh, we of little faith. As 2016 rapidly draws to a close, we look back upon this past year. And we see that it was kind of a year of caustic, angry year of political debates, divisive elections. Race relations got worse in some areas of a country. There were storms, severe droughts, fires, floods, both in the east and the west coast of our country. Maybe in your own individual lives, the loss of loved ones, maybe illnesses, injuries, maybe other troubles and trials, day after day. Yet never once did the Lord fail you to deliver you through your trials and troubles. Never once did the Lord fail to see you through your problems. Never once did he allow you to face your future on your own. Oh yes, we've tasted. We've tasted our Lord's mercy. We've tasted our Lord's grace. And it's always good. But now let's look back on the past year and see something very sad. My past year, and I'm sure yours is much the same, has been littered with sinful thoughts, sinful words, and sinful actions. Yet never once were we left without the Lord's forgiveness and grace. How amazing is that? Over and over and over again this past year, we broke God's commandments. Yet over and over and over again, God was there with his grace, with his mercy, with his forgiveness to wash us clean, to strengthen us, to lift up our spirits, to set us straight, to walk our way of life, our faith life, always focusing on the cross and the empty tomb. Having tasted the Lord's goodness, David now can't contain himself any longer. And he cries out in this psalm, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my heart and my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let's exalt his name together." There is no time in your life or in my life when we cannot, when we should not, magnify and praise the Lord with our hearts and with our mouths. When the magnitude of all that God has done for us, all his blessings, all his mercy, all his grace, fills our hearts, we'll realize that even a lifetime of praising God is nowhere near enough. The hymn writer says, "When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. But, oh, eternity's too short to utter all your praise." And our praisings won't be about all the blessings and mercies that God has given us. Our praisings will focus in upon the one who gives those blessings. Focus in on the Lord Jesus himself. David said, "In the Lord my soul made its boast." He didn't pat himself on the back and say, "That was really a genius thing of me to think about pretending I'm mad or insane." He didn't pride himself on his ingenuity. He thanked the Lord. He thanked the Lord for sparing his life, for setting him free. And so we too boast in the Savior God, not in our faith, not in anything we've done. We boast and praise our God for his suffering and dying on the cross and paying for our sins and giving us forgiveness on a daily basis and saying, I'll never, never leave you nor forsake you. You know, when we first hear of David's plight, you might think, oh, I feel sorry for David. But he said, no, don't do that. Be glad. Be glad and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And then he continues, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Our Savior is with us always, even to the very end of this world. He promises. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver you. That's his promise. And you will glorify me. That's our response. And as David says, the angels encamp around us. We read in Psalm 91, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And finally, our text concludes with David's words, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed, we heard last week, means happy. Happy is the man who both in good times and in bad times lays everything into his Lord's hands. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. How much more happy and content and peaceful our lives would be if we could just learn to cast all our cares, all our worries, all our concerns upon him, because he cares for us. We began our sermon this morning with a statement written by a mother who lost her little daughter in death. At first, she didn't want her personal tragedy to be a source of comfort and help to others. In fact, when she was encouraged to write down her life story and to tell others about the comfort she received from her Lord, she said she was repulsed at that idea. In self-pity and misery, she refused to share her feelings and the comfort that the Lord had given her. As time went on, as she faced that grief through the Lord's help, and the Lord filled her heart with comfort, she realized she could not but help others and comfort others who endure the same kind of loss, the loss of a little child. And so she wrote that book on Christian comfort. She also quoted from David himself too. In one of the sections, she wrote this. When we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we're anxious to try him again. It would be good for all of us who grieve to look back and thankfully remember the help God has given us in our trouble. May we who have tasted the Lord and have seen his great mercy, that he indeed is good, join David in also praising God and continually magnifying his name, not only during this Advent season, but throughout every day of our lives. For indeed, how very happy is the person who trusts in the Lord. Amen. The grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.